Rickety tickety Bobby.
Rickety tickety.
Let's go.
Woo!
Is that week 13?
Should have think so. I think so.
Something like that.
It's got to be 13.
Mate, it's been a hell of a roll.
What a run.
What a run. I mean, for Screaming Meal standards.
We're talking about like it's ending, but it's not.
It's not. It's just starting.
We're keeping on going. But
we're talking about Screaming Meal standards here. We've barely been able to sort of upload maybe what? Couple of pods in the last 2 years?
Well, I think I counted recently. I think the CEO of the company has appeared in 4 videos this calendar year.
Solid. And those were vlogs.
And that actually, that might be an inflated number. But anyway, we're here.
We're living the dream.
On a Wednesday, we've got some wine. We've been at work.
We do have some wine. It's a beautiful wine from Portugal.
Oh, love a Portuguese. Love a Portuguese.
It's a Quinta Valle de Maria, a Tinto from 2016. Solid.
Hot year.
Yeah, it's a solid hot year, so quite high on the old alcoholic front. A pretty expensive bottle for our standards.
Oh, yeah?
But do you know what?
How many...
£50.
50? Who bought this?
Me.
Oh, good on you, mate.
Yeah, I know. I thought we'd treat ourselves after a...
It's been a successful week.
It's been a tedious week, yet successful.
Here at PIB.
You are fired. You've resigned.
I fired myself.
You fired yourself. And I now have a job.
Yeah, you've got a real job.
Which, it's rare to say that with racing drivers.
Yeah, that's true, because it's not a real job.
What, my job?
No, being a racing driver.
No, yeah. Not a job.
It's a hobby that sometimes pays if you're really fucking good at it.
Essentially, but I guess that's most athletes, you know, it's kind of a hobby.
Oh, you could say that. You could say that about sport, actually.
Yeah,
no?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'll take that point.
But yes, we've got this Quinta Valle de Maria. So it's a Tinto from Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
How about we get a bit of a smell, eh?
Yeah, give it a...
See what we're...
Get it on there. It's
vanilla.
Mmm. Is it?
I'm picking up vanilla. Sort of like an oaky, sort of like what would be a proper red.
I'm getting more oak.
Yeah, oaky. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe some plum?
I'm getting might sound a little bit left field, but I'm getting a little bit of pine.
Oh.
Just an air of pine.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mmm.
Bit of red fruit there as well. Kind of
naturally.
Like a sort of a sundae.
When you give it a swill like this, hang on, give it a... You get the colour, when the light breaches...
It's good on the mouth, I'll tell you that.
When the light breaches the glass, yeah. When you kind of thin it out and swill it around a bit, it's got that nice sort of cherry raspberry tone that I like to look
beautiful.
For.
Mm. I mean, we've obviously been sticking to white wines for the couple of last weeks there. Yep. We went full urine last week.
Oh, we went really urine last week.
And it's nice to see something with a bit more non-bodily fluid kind of colour.
Some of the whites from New Zealand can be questionable a bit.
Yeah, well, you want to stay away from the body fluids kind of colours. And this sort of red is...
Looks a bit too natural for me.
Yeah, last time.
No, but this is lovely.
Yeah.
Should we get it on the palate?
Yes.
On the palais? Did you say palate or palais?
Palais.
Would you actually say palais in French?
Indeed.
Oh, that's all I'm saying from now on. Right. Anyway, without further ado.
Oh, that's quite good, though. No,
it's soft. It's like a Ganassi front end.
Mate, it is soft yet bold. It is quite. I wouldn't say tannic, it's aged well.
I really like when I can taste, specifically a red wine, when I can really taste it on the side of my tongue. Do you know what I mean? Like it sort of gets in, you know,
in the nicks and cracks around the mouth.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Sort of, and you get that kind of, almost like a sort of salivation kind of sensation on the sort of, in your tongue, where you got, you know what I mean?
That's usually the traits of a very good wine, but yes. Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, there we go.
I mean, to be fair, mate, this is... Aye. Quite dry, but yet round, very round.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to explain the term round, but it kind of covers
complete.
The mouth,
it's sort of like, it's velvety. You know, velvet's what you're after. But would you describe velvet? I wouldn't describe velvet as a round fabric at the same time, you know?
Well, you could, but
what would be a round fabric? Maybe like a corduroy. Thank you.
Bloody hell, we do have the same brain, eh? What would you give that?
Mate, it's in the eights off the bat. I mean, let me just give it another hone. What do you reckon?
I'm going to say an 8.36. I reckon it's about right.
I was going to say 8. I'll throw some diversity at it. I'm going to go 8.275.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, great rating for this Portuguese wine.
Hey, great shirt.
100% recommended.
And a Portuguese red, actually. I've only really dabbled in whites.
In the sort of Douro region.
From the northern region, though. Yeah. I like the northern Portuguese whites. They're lovely.
It's a Douro, so it's kind of, you know, your classic Portuguese reds. But I went real in-depth this time just to try and sort of, surprise you.
No, you took me completely by surprise on that one.
And great result.
No, lovely stuff. I mean, usually we drink absolute piss on this podcast, so it's a refreshing change.
Well, listen, it's all about diversity, and we've gone and changed the price tag.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, hey, good stuff, mate. Should we crack into some motorsport news
racing
now we've got the wine out of the way?
Yeah.
Right, so IndyCar's done. Formula 2's done.
For
2 and a bit months.
Yeah.
But Formula 1's still raging on away. So should we... let's wrap up IndyCar first.
Yeah.
Did you watch the race?
I did.
Okay. Excellent. Glad one of us did.
Yeah. Did you not?
Well, as you know, mate, you dropped me off at the... tell you what. So you dropped me off at bloody Ware train station after we went to the Karting World Champs on Sunday.
Yep.
I missed the train into London by 4 minutes.
You're joking.
Waited 56 minutes for another train after you dropped me off.
Oh, no.
Then that was an hour and a minute into Liverpool Street.
Yeah.
Then needed to walk from Liverpool Street to Londres Bridge.
Ooh.
Which for London locals, you'll know that's not a short journey.
No.
Then got my train from there. Then that was another half an hour back to actual home where I picked up the car because my aunt and uncle were around. So, and then I picked up the car from there. Then I drove around to my sister's place where I was staying for the last 2 days. So by the time I'd, you know,
obviously I dropped you off at what, let's say 6 p.m.
Yeah,
you got home at
race 10. Started at 8, and yeah, so I was feet up by 10 p.m.
Oh, so yeah, now no chance to watch the race then.
No, this is great IndyCar coverage, by the way. We're just going through my diary from Sunday evening.
Well, look, you know, it's all about context.
It all went to shit for Will Power pretty early, didn't it?
Well, look, I wouldn't be... I don't know which kind of sort of belt manufacturer he's been using there at the old Andretti wagon, but...
That's the thing. You can put an end to the Penske conspiracy chat, because that just wouldn't have happened.
Sorry, Penske. I thought he was driving for Andretti, but that shows as much as I know about the...
You thought Will Power was driving for Andretti?
Yeah, for a second.
Okay, well, there you go. It's been a long day for you. I get it. It's your first week on the job.
Got a massive headache.
Yeah, okay. Princess. So the belts came undone twice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously suboptimal when you're traveling at 200 plus miles an hour.
Especially on an oval.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's a point.
Yeah.
That you might be too tired to discuss, but we'll give it a crack anyway. Am I being a massive, and when I say massive, I mean massive. Am I being a massive pussy? Or was that bump at turn two on that indicator? Just the dumbest fucking thing in the history of ever. Like, it really, I don't know why, but it really, really upset me.
Look, we've discussed this off air, of course, beforehand.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, no track is 100% smooth.
For sure.
I do believe that...
That's not a reason to put a jump in the middle of it.
No, I do believe that that bump, obviously they tried to square it off there for the main race. As you
sure
can see, there was sort of this patch of new tarmac there.
Indeed.
To try and sort of level it off as much as they could. Now, yes, it's less than ideal. You're traveling at, let's say, a couple of 100 miles an hour.
Approximately fucking fast.
And, you know, airplanes, racing cars are the opposite of airplanes, let's
yes,
say. You're
correct.
Trying to keep them on the ground. Now,
you want
the more
on the
airflow that you can get underneath a car is a bad idea.
Mm.
Because very quickly it can turn into an airplane.
Yes.
And a bump, naturally, through the physics of a bump, traveling over a bump kind of raises that platform.
Does.
Underneath
it, it raises the COG.
So you wouldn't want that traveling at 200 miles an hour.
No.
But I think...
Here we go.
No, I think that's terrible.
You think it's still I think it's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want
to
drive.
It really fucking pissed me off, man. And I don't mean to go on a tangent because this is meant to be somewhat of a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, but we lost Dan Weldon at the last race of the championship in 2011 on an oval. Similar situation there. But we're just... Risk, man. Like, it just... Attention to risk was just completely fucking disregarded all weekend.
No, I
agree.
And
the worst happens. Then, obviously, you know, in IndyCar as well, Justin Wilson on an oval too. That was much more of a freak accident. But, I mean, shit. Can we not... We've lost too many fucking guys now. Can we not just mitigate the fucking risk? Like... I've got some friends out there, you know, like it's just, it's obvious, maybe it's different for us. Maybe it's different for me, but it really fucking got under my skin that.
No, for sure. At the same time, you got to look at the point of view of a racing driver. Like in the end, you're doing absolutely what you love.
And we spoke about, and you said, we spoke about it Sunday and you said, have you mentioned it to Marcus? I said, no, I don't want to get in his head about it. You know,
no,
so there's
but
that.
You're doing what you love and you kind of understand the risks. Obviously you're trying to mitigate them as possible, as much as you can. But in reality, you're there to race and, whatever the oval, I'm sorry, but whether there is a bump or not, you're still traveling at 200 miles an hour.
It's dangerous as fuck. Like, yeah. Racing IndyCars on an oval is dangerous as fuck, but that's kind of my point. Like,
I understand the point.
Yeah.
But I think as a racing driver, if those circumstances prop up, you're just trying to get them out of your head because
you don't want to
go into a race thinking about those things.
Yeah, you zip up, you strap in, and you go. There's absolutely no question in my mind about that. Racing driver attitude, you go and you race. But when you look at, like, Rosenqvist just ran over that bump and his tire let go and he went in the wall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if somebody was on his outside and his tire let go and he went into their side of their tire and they went upside down at 200 miles an hour into the catch fence, how do you think that fucking looks?
Not good.
So I'm going to try and calm down. Do you want to bring up a topic while I calm down?
Yeah, I think you should probably calm down there, James. But I'm loving the sort of...
The passion
and the aggression in your voice there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, obviously, Alex Palou, champion.
Smoked it. Holy shit, man.
I've seen plenty of posts online talking about him potentially becoming one of the GOATs in the sport. I mean, if he's not already there, let's face it, it's three championships pretty much wrapped up, I think, in 4 years.
I think three champs in 4 years, you're our legend status.
Yeah, he's already there.
Yes.
Now it's just a case of how much more can he wrap up?
Can he challenge the GOAT?
Can he actually go for the Iceman?
Really, yeah.
But
I mean, obviously on a personal level, I think hopefully not. But I mean, you know, you love to see talent. I love to see racing. And he's good for IndyCar, actually.
He's great Alex for Palou. IndyCar. I love it. And Marcus with a good result.
Yeah, really solid, actually.
Solid, just
he's
there.
Gone good. You know what? He's gone good on the ovals this year for someone who's never given it a crack before.
Yeah, I know, big time.
He's actually right.
Now, one of the most,
never say that to his face.
I'll tell you one of the most disappointing facts was that he was 3 points away from a P13 in the championship.
Two. Yeah.
Which would have absolutely made my day.
Yeah,
I was waiting, ready to go with a text there.
Yeah.
Good job on a P13, MA.
So I was pretty impressed. So he finished right in front of Marcus Ericsson.
Yeah.
His more experienced Indy 500 champion teammate from last year. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Good on you, son.
Kia kaha.
Right, mate. Couldn't have said it better myself. Kia kaha.
Now, Formula 2.
Formula DOS, yeah.
Bit of a hack.
Yeah, it was a bit of a runaround of the weekend, wasn't it? It was so... there was that fucking shunt, man.
Huge shunt in the feature race.
Yeah.
Kind of cut that short, and then it was, you know, sort of a case of 14 laps. Not much happening. Richard Vachon with a dub.
Yeah, great stuff.
You love to see Richard Vachon.
And not disqualified afterwards.
Exactly, not disqualified.
If there's a man that loves being disqualified from a race win, it's Richard Vachon.
And you know what? Fair play to him. I mean...
No, he's almost like the new Boshong, isn't he? Like the sort of hardest working driver on the grid, sort of underfinanced, always kind of, I'm sure he won't mind to say, scraping around, finding the money for a drive, gets it done, and he pedals the thing pretty bloody good.
Oh, mate, he pedals the thing well. Joshua Dirksen getting the sprint as well.
Yeah, great stuff.
Which made it, imagine this number.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's my non-championship contention driver of the year in Formula 2.
Joshua Dirksen.
Yeah,
big time. But what I'm really finding interesting in this championship, it's been so topsy-turvy, especially on a new season, new car. You expect somebody to dominate the year.
Sure.
Mate.
And we almost had that.
16 different race winners.
That's actually impressive. Is that true?
That is true.
Who's not won a race?
Pretty much. Yeah. At that point, we're pretty much there. Who hasn't actually won a race?
Should we just spray it, try and like orchestrate to spray it around for the rest of the season?
Oh, man, I would love it.
I'm sure Bruno's on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, 16 different race winners, two great winners at the weekend.
That's hot. That's
and
really
guess
hot.
What, brother? It's BB Bortoletto, P1 in the Campeonato.
Yeah, you'd love to see that.
You fucking love it. I honestly, I'm gassed for him. I mean,
you're not the only one, mate. You're not the only one.
I was about to say, mate, Neymar Jr. fucking going crazy on his story.
That's pretty sick. Somebody with a quarter of a billion Instagram followers reposting you.
Quarter of a billion.
Yeah. Yeah, I got pretty it right. Impressive. I know I got it right.
Yeah, I was just thinking there. But yeah, no, it's impressive.
Yeah.
But he is the new sort of massive talent coming out of Brazil. Obviously, we had Drugovic before. Got Bortoleto now. Who knows what's going to come out of there in the future. But hey, if I was Mattia Binotto or whoever's sort of taken over that program.
Yeah, you pay attention to it, don't you?
I'd be giving him a seat, mate.
Yeah.
But that's, hey. That's just one man's opinion.
Too right. There's actually this great, so there's after dinner speaker in New Zealand that my dad was telling me about once. We've gone way off the rails here, folks.
Yeah.
And this all ties in loosely to something you've just said. So he goes, his son was applying for the All Blacks, trying out for the All Blacks.
Yeah.
First year, goes in, doesn't get in, and dad didn't make it. He goes, well, son, that's just one man's opinion. Try again next year. Sure enough, he does. He goes along to the trials next year. Tries out, doesn't get in. Oh, dad, failed again. Didn't get into the All Blacks. And he goes like, well, you know what I said last year? That's just one man's opinion. Try again, crack on next year. Works hard, puts in the hard yakka, mate, gets the fucking thing done, tries out, gets in the team, rings dad. Dad made the squad. He goes, well, son, that's just one man's opinion, but I'm bloody proud of you.
Didn't get the gist of the joke there.
Fuck it, really? Oh, geez, it's been a long day for you. Hopefully the listeners got the joke and you got a giggle out of that.
A cackle.
A cackle, yeah. I mean, like I said, it was a really long-winded sort of anecdote about something that my dad told me once about 8 years ago. So I might have even fucked up the delivery, but who knows?
Hey, look.
Formula One. Are we here? Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. Formula One. Oscar
Holy
Piastri.
Shit, man. What a drive.
Fucking hell.
I said to you, I don't think I've seen a more impressive drive than that since Button 2011, and even then, it's an arm wrestle.
To be honest, the Button 2011 one was a topsy-turvy race. You got a lot of rain. You got loads of different conditions coming from the back, going back to the back again, coming back to the front, winning it on the last lap. Mega race to watch.
Unbelievable.
And a hell of
a performance in mixed conditions.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding. And I won't be the only one who's rewatched that race.
No, absolutely.
Probably
not.
A couple of times.
Absolutely not.
But, well, when you talk about somebody having just ice in their veins, he is basically the new Kimi Raikkonen who actually speaks English. In the sense that this man has got no emotion.
Mm.
He can be as under pressure as possible. I mean, you mentioned it. The geezer has a DNF or wins a race. On the radio, sounds the fucking same.
Yeah, same emotion. If he's shunted the car and like it's destroyed, guys, I crashed. Really sorry. I'm okay.
Wins a race.
Wins the fucking... Honestly, the one of the greatest driving performances I've ever seen in my life. Yes. Thanks, guys. Really good. Really good.
Yeah, put it
really
on the
good strategy.
There. No, but really...
cheers, boys.
Do you know what? It was really good.
It was bloody good. It was so good.
Like, fucking well impressive.
We're taking the piss out of his accent now, but you can't say enough about that drive.
Mate, honestly,
I'm trying to even, like, compare it. Like, having Leclerc up your ass for that long.
I mean, it is one Leclerc.
I'm not going to try and get too carried away here, but one of the best operators we've ever seen in Formula One, Charles Leclerc.
Oh, one of the fastest.
In your fucking date for 40 laps and you're just not even bothered. Just chill out. Mate, the bloke was millimetres away from that Qatar Airways banner every single lap. I shat myself every lap. I doubt he did.
Sweet as, mate.
Yeah. Any other? Behrman, actually, great
Behrman,
nudge.
Behrman, Colapinto, both point scorers.
The boys.
Wow. I mean, at the boys.
Because did Behrman finish in front of Hülkenberg? No.
He did. He did finish in front of Hülkenberg. Yeah. And Colapinto
too.
Just behind Albon. Both of them scoring points. I think actually overtaking Haas in the standings in the process. Yeah. I mean, all
fending,
round.
Fending off Lewis. We were talking about Behrman here. Fending off Lewis for many a lap.
Many a laps and overtaking...
Fucking mate, let's hear it for the boys. Yeah. How about the fucking boys just out there killing it right
now?
Do
you know what, mate? I stayed off Twitter for a long, long time, or X as they call it these days, but I had to make a little comment about the strength and level of that F2 field, because for these two absolute banditry wagon drivers to get into them F1 wagons, we know both of them, wagon drivers.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, Formula 2 always seems miles away from Formula 1. Put them under pressure, mate. Get them in a car. Tickety-boo.
Exactly, mate. I mean, we even just spoke about it. I mean, you know, Marcus Armstrong, the three-peat finisher of P13 in the Formula 2 championship, outscored Marcus Ericsson in a full championship this year, who was a Formula 1 driver, and I believe finished second in GP2, or maybe even won it, but no, second. And that just goes to show that championship means fuck all. They're all shit-hot drivers that deserve a shot at fucking anything.
Mate.
And the car's a piece of shit. That's not for you to comment on. That's just
I'm gonna distance myself from that one there. But how about we step into the old crisis room, mate? I think we've done enough racing chat for an evening. Now, should I go for it. This one?
Give the multitude.
Crisis room, mate. We're in.
Shit, mate. I think I've gone off the page.
Oh, no. Lost it.
I'm going back through the underwriting agency website. Hang on. No, we're here. Hang on. Right. Here, we're here. Okay. CNBC. 17 hours ago.
CNBC.
So this is a 17-hour-old crisis.
Yep.
Japan faces labor shortages and demographic crisis as elderly population hits record high. Key points. Government data released ahead of Japan's Respect for the Aged Day. I like that.
Yeah.
Showed the country's population aged 65 and over had risen to an all-time high of 36.25 million over 65 years old there. According to some bloke called Robert, the chief economist at Morgan Stanley, so he knows his shit.
Oh, fair enough.
The data fuels concerns about demographic shifts and a labor crunch in the country. So obviously Japan back in the 80s and 90s was a real technology boom.
Oh, mate, powerhouse.
And actually...
Still is to this day, kind of.
Still is. It's a huge economy now. But actually, what's interesting, I was speaking to my mother about this, who was at a conference in Japan just a few months ago. And what she was being told from people, so she does like training exercises for large companies and basically teaches people how to get along and, you know.
Yeah, not be what you mean.
And so what they were saying is that the issue that they're having at the moment in Japan as far as, you know, it probably extends beyond labor and goes into some more administrative type roles where the Japanese culture, as you know, mate, it's so meticulous. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
Yeah.
It's so meticulous and everything is done. If it can be done right, that's not good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be done perfect.
To the nth degree, which is great. But when you're just trying to murder through some admin, that's the kind of attitude that can get in the way of progress at times.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So what they're running into is that everyone's doing things too well in Japan and it's biting them on the ass, basically.
Yeah, no. Well, all I'm reading from that big old title and sort of document there is obviously a lot of old people.
36.25 million
aging
to be exact.
Population. Yeah. So all I'm saying is this is maybe a sort of 30-year-old mistake, but not enough rooting.
No, there's definitely not enough rooting going on.
Like you got.
Do you know what? I think the issue is that they blur out all the porn and the Japanese porn. They love a blur. So maybe if we unblur the porn, people will start getting the right idea.
I'm going to distance myself so far away from that comment there,
fair
James.
Enough, each
but,
to their own.
Yeah, mate.
So more rooting needs to happen in Japan. So how do we, because obviously there's a lot of, God, how do we pump this up? Who's the biggest sort of influencer in Japan right now?
Oh, I wouldn't know, but they've got loads of sort of, I don't know, actually.
They have those vending machines, don't they? Can we take condoms out of the vending machines in Japan?
Potentially.
Is it not enough? Is it not enough rooting, or is it too much safe rooting?
I think the safe rooting is not necessarily the issue.
Now look, we're not here to advocate against safe rooting.
Yeah.
But there's a time and a place for it. You know, there's a certain time in the day where you got to take the limiters off. If you know what I mean? see what this engine can rev out to. You know.
Yeah, but look, this is a 30-year-old
problem. This podcast going straight in the bin, isn't it?
No, it's tickety-boo. But look, put it this way. The problem's old now. It's old news.
So they need labor. But I mean, everyone's like the labor crisis. AI crisis is kind of like the anti-labor crisis. So I guess but then the issue is that there's, I mean, probably the better part of 40 million people without a job, which you don't need.
Now, I think what we should do is organize a mass sort of immigration campaign into Japan to sort of supplement the fact they've got that loss of labor. Okay. So you've got to think about all the jobs that are currently not being filled because people are just getting old.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to count up the numbers.
Yeah.
And just, you said New Zealand, 5 million people.
Yeah.
Why, instead of sending them to China, as we said, to go and train for the
I see where you're going with this. We just turn the South Island into a retirement village.
We turn the South Island into a retirement village and we send all the people that are currently on the South Island to
up
Japan.
North. Okay, yes, I like this. I like where you're going with this.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, brittle, toughened, you know, South Island hard bastards
hard
down
yakka.
There. Japan could do with those. Get in there, you know, dust things up. Come on.
Yeah, and find other countries.
Stop dusting your keyboard. We haven't got time for that. You know, bit of that. Bit of number eight wire mentality.
I don't know, mate, but to be honest, if you're just looking, for me, I'm just looking at purely from numbers.
Yep.
I've been looking at numbers all day. I've been doing spreadsheets.
Yeah, you have.
That's all have I can you? Think of right now. Also looking at holiday destinations.
Did a lot of Airbnb bookings from what I can see.
Yeah, that too. But, you know, I'm looking at the numbers. You just got to, it's just 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, for the most part.
And you got to get that number so that, yeah.
Not exactly sure what point you've made there, but I think I see where you're going with it in that it's a numbers game. Are we going to fit 36 million people in the South Island? Look, that's TBC, but I think we can definitely facilitate some roles for some Kiwis, some hardworking Kiwis in Japan. In the,
get them over to Japan. It's not a tough language to learn.
No. Sure.
Konnichiwa.
Desu wa James Des. I think that could have that's either impressive or horrifically racist from me.
Hey, look.
Up the wires.
But no, yeah.
Anyway, we need to solve this crisis. Hang on.
Mass exodus of people. Get them into Japan.
Yeah.
Take the elderly population. Take them to the South Island. Queenstown, great place to live.
Do you know what? I'm actually just thinking about this very practically, quickly. Yep. What if we reverse it, though? Because if the elder, they like the warm weather. Don't do well in the cold.
Oh, so you want North Island?
Let's do North Island.
Okay.
There's a little bit less landmass, but I feel like the South Island's just, it's better anyway. Like, Kiwis are going to want to hold on to the South Island. Give the North's kind of shit anyway.
Yeah.
And I say that as a North Islander.
So take the North Island Kiwis to Japan.
Send them up to Japan. They will have less backbone than the South Islanders.
Yeah.
That's a known fact. But, you know, I'm sure they can still, you know, cut their teeth. They'll be all right. Get those Kiwis maybe into management positions in Japan. And I think that's what they're missing is just that, like I said, from my mum said from her conference, it's just that culture of near enough's good enough, fucking just slap it in and we'll crack on.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
There needs to be an element of that. I hope I don't see any of this kind of culture carried into Japanese restaurants or cuisine or furniture or anything else. But as far as the big techs go, the big companies, I think they've got to loosen up their standards a little bit.
I think we've just solved this.
Mate, that was a hell of a crisis control in the end. I really thought we were going somewhere bad with that for a while.
No, but we've done it.
No, we've done well. And actually not, probably one of our more sensible suggestions. Indeed. Turning the entire North Island into a retirement village.
And taking the entire population of the North Island into Japan.
Yeah, true. They could use a holiday. Look.
It wouldn't be a holiday.
COVID was long for everybody. Change is as good as a holiday, mate. You should know that.
Change. Yeah. Change is good.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Speaking of that, we're going to change from recording a podcast to not recording a podcast. I'm going to go the fuck home.
Mate, I am going to go. I'm going to go to the gym.
I don't want to know what you're going to do straight after this.
I'm going to go to the gym.
Oh, good.
And then I'm going to, I don't know, see.
Yeah, it's late people. On a Wednesday night. You're going to be hearing this on Thursday because there's absolutely no fucking chance I'm uploading this when I get home.
But hey, have a good night.
Hey, have a great rest of your week. You absolute sick fucks, and we'll see you next week.
Ciao.
Ciao.